Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's a bright, sunny song to bring on Jeff Katz. Here he is, Mr. Sunshine himself, the host of the Jeff Katz Show. You'll hear him today. Beginning at 3 o'clock, big interview coming up with Winsome Earl Sears on the Jeff Katz Show. And Jeff Katz is joining us right now on News Radio WRVA. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am outstanding, outstanding, outstanding. We got a lot to talk about, so let me jump right into it. I want to get your reaction to a guest we just had on. We had Anthony Russo, political analyst, social media influencer. He came on to talk about Bibi Netanyahu and his trip to the White House, and the conversation took a different direction than I thought, because I asked him about Benjamin Netanyahu nominating Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize, and I said, if you take off the resume, the name on the resume for what Trump has done, it would be worthy of nomination for the Peace Prize. But here was his comments when I brought this up.
Just to be totally honest, I'm a Jewish American. I'm half Jewish, half Italian. And I, over the last few years, I've lost a lot of respect for Bibi. That said, I am a big supporter of Israel, but I think the dealings and the way that things have gone back and forth have been the typical governmental corruption that we see across the world. And I think that this is just another, all right, Trump, what are you going to do for us? And trying to get America more and more involved in this war that I think that we should be avoiding. Granted, if this is a peace meeting, a truly brokering of peace, then more power to it.
Jeff Katz's reaction.
Wow. His next stop should probably be Tucker Carlson and following up on that Iranian president guest. I don't know. I mean, to me, that sounds crazy. I remain a very, very strong Bibi Netanyahu supporter, a Likud supporter. I think that if you really want to trash Bibi Netanyahu because he got a box of cigars at some point, then that's on you. Bibi Netanyahu and President Trump have remade the Middle East into what, for the first time in my lifetime, has the potential to truly be a peaceful area for generations to come. So it's an interesting comment, I suppose. I'm not familiar with him, but to trash them for trying to bring peace to the Middle East to make sure that Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon capable of destroying millions of people. I don't know. Seems to me you should rub some dirt on it, dude. Take a lap, get over whatever your hurt feelings are, and stand with the folks who are doing right.
I asked as well, what would happen if the U.S. were to pull back? What would happen if we just gave verbal support for Israel, but nothing else, and everybody knew that we were just going to say nice things about them at the UN Security Council, but we weren't going to have their back, and there would be daylight between the two of us. What would happen to Israel? What would happen to the Middle East? And you know, my son Rigney's here, and he's a political science major, and he's kind of a policy wonk in training, and we just had a conversation about this, that anytime America pulls back, there's a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum, and somebody else, whether we like them or not, will come and fill the role that the U.S. once had. If you become an isolationist, if that happens, most of the time it's somebody that doesn't have the U.S. best interest at heart.
I mean, he is spot on. He is absolutely correct. And with the situation with Israel especially, goodness, you have in President Trump the one president that has made promises and kept promises, delivered on everything that prior administrations, both Democrats and Republicans, said they were going to do. And we have a lot of great economic rewards because we support Israel as well. It's, you know, there's a lot going on right now. You hear from the Tucker Carlsons, the Candace Owens, oh my God, we're sending $3 billion to Israel. That's absolutely correct. It's $3 billion for defense, and for Israel to receive the $3 billion, they then turn around and send it right back to the United States of America to purchase planes, weaponry, etc. So it's a net win, actually, for the United States. And Israel is a nation that since the day of its founding, the modern state of Israel, since the day of its founding in 1948, it has had to be ready for war because they're surrounded by people who want them dead. Now, what's interesting, Rich, and I know that Riggs is certainly analyzed this and seen this because I know he's what you've shared with me of him, a brilliant young man. What we've seen in recent history, thanks to President Trump, is a lot of those nations that in the past would have said, yeah, we're on board, let's get rid of Israel, are now saying, yeah, let's make peace with Israel, let's have a relationship with them. Just in the last couple of weeks, there are five sheikhs in Hebron who have said, we don't want to be part of the PLO, the Palestinian Authority. We want to be recognized for our tribal lands, our traditional clans, and we want to have a relationship with Israel. We want to live in peace. They're doing right by our people. They're not throwing us under the bus as the Hamas leaders would. So I think there's great hope in the Middle East for the first time, really, since the founding of the modern state.
We're talking right now with Jeff Katz. He has a big interview coming up today, folks. 4 o'clock, Winsome Earl Sears will join the Jeff Katz Show. What do you want to talk to her about?
What don't I want to talk to her about? I think number one right now has to be how effectively Governor Youngkin has governed for the last 4 years, what her role has been in helping the governor, helping to enact those policies, helping to make those policies real in terms of economics, in terms of interacting with ICE and making sure that these violent gang members throughout the Commonwealth are not dictating policy, how strong she has been working with Attorney General Jason Meares to make sure that our Commonwealth's attorneys are actually enforcing the law and holding criminals accountable. So there is an awful lot to talk about, and how she plans when she moves into the executive mansion to continue to those policies. And are there any other issues that maybe she's looking at and saying, well,
looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm going to do it a little bit differently than Governor Youngkin.
Wait a minute, you're going to ask her a Sonny Hostage question? So is there anything you would do differently?
Well, yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion, Rich, that her answer might be slightly different than the last person that was asked that question. You know, Winsome Sears is, and I say this with all due respect, she is one tough cookie. So
she's a Marine. She's a Marine.
Exactly. Exactly. She's got no problem answering questions and saying, yeah, I agree with that. I don't agree with that. I personally think there's just such great potential for my beloved Commonwealth here. So I'm hopeful that we've got Congressman John McGuire dropping by. We'll talk about the success of the One Big Beautiful Bill, now the One Big Beautiful Law, and where we go from here. We got a lot of great stuff this afternoon. Oh, and sir, the most important thing, we had some suggestions for you and Riggs.
Oh.
I must tell you, yeah, now I know that you guys have been looking for food and restaurants and the rest of it. I'm going to remind you, I'm like the brand ambassador for Hanover County. I love Hanover County, best
yes.
place on God's green earth. You need to get yourself simply a loaf of bread. Believe it or not, the cheaper the bread, the white bread, the better. Some Duke's mayonnaise and a couple of Hanover tomatoes, slice them up, just put a little Duke's, a little pinch of salt, and you will understand just how wonderful Hanover County is for our farming community, for our agriculture community. We got some stuff. You guys should come up to see Coldfield Battlefield.
Yes.
One of the most consequential battles, I think. And don't quote me on this. I am not a history major. I think there were 32,000 lives lost as a result. It was one of the most consequential battle, one of the most consequential battles in the war. Lunch at Hanover Tavern should be something you do. Take a walk through downtown Ashland. And then as I invite everybody who's a tourist, you know, come, leave some money, then get out. We have no room for anybody to live here anymore.
All right, so we went yesterday to Greentop and went shooting. And as we come into Hanover County, he looks up, he goes, "Dad, look at that." And he points at the sign. When you come into Hanover County, you know, the big white sign with the tomatoes on it. And he goes, "Look at the year of that." He goes, "Man, this is so cool." He just thought it was, you know, Hanover County founded in 17, whatever. He goes, "That's the coolest thing ever." And he's just gushing about this. Yesterday, last night, we went to the Jefferson to show him the hotel, and he saw the statue of Jefferson, because we had been to Monticello, and then we went downstairs to the bar and had a beer. It's been awesome. Really, really fun. And then we're going to go to the Navy Museum in D.C. on Wednesday afternoon. Then we go to the White House. We're going to Capitol Hill. We're going to go to Forge Theater. And a very nice listener called and left me a voicemail message reminding me that, you know, a lot is recreations of Forge Theater. So he gave me a history lesson, which I passed along to Riggs. So people have been great about all the places. And, yeah, Hanover Tavern, we're going to try to hit that either on our way up to D.C. or on Saturday before I put him on the plane, sending him back out to Arizona. So it's been great. I wanted to point something out to everybody, that Jeff and I share this text line, the James River Air text line. So when I come in the morning, I see everything that people had texted to Jeff. Jeff sees everything that you text to me. And Jeff, I don't know if you noticed this. Yesterday, I asked, what's the most pressing issue for the gubernatorial candidates for you? And you know what I noticed? There was not one big answer. Everybody had something different. I think this race is wide open, because I don't think either one of them have found an issue that everybody is either going to get behind or everybody is going to oppose. I know the polls say that Abigail Spanberger has a big lead, but I don't think people have started paying attention and started drilling down to why they're going to vote for or against this person yet.
I think that's a great point. And it's just like most places, Rich, when you have an election coming up, general election in November, early election before that, most people during the summer are focused elsewhere. The weather's great. They're out doing things. Labor Day is kind of the official kickoff. There are plenty of issues that need to be addressed. If you take a look at, Abigail Spanberger has been all over television with a lot of ads, most of them fictional, but even her social media stuff, and you're thinking, okay, well, these are just the repeated Democrat Party pablum talking points. There's nothing that's going to attract an independent. There's certainly nothing that's going to attract a traditional Republican. So she's not reaching out to get anybody new. She's kind of solidifying her base. I think Winston Sears, the same sort of thing. So you're right. There's a lot of open territory out there that nobody has yet to walk on.
Well, I will be running around all over Richmond, showing my son what a great community this is in Central Virginia. We did go to Bucky's, by the way. We did take the trek out to Bucky's, and it was crazy. It was crazy. It took us 25 minutes to just get off the freeway to the parking lot, and even longer to park. So it was bedlam mayhem, with everybody being friendly, with big smiles on their faces. They were just excited to be there. It reminded me of Rope Drop at Disney World.
Oh, my God. You know, it's crazy to think of the fact that Bucky's all started because the guy that started it, his name is Bucky, he just said, you know, there should be more clean bathrooms when you get off the interstate. That was his whole reason for starting that thing, and it has become it's become a cultural phenomenon. Rich, before I let you go, you and Riggs need to go to the Richmond Wastewater Treatment Facility. And that's because that's where you can see the monuments that used to be on Monument Avenue. That's the that is where they are now. So good luck. You'll have to do a little recon to get in there, but I'm sure you can pull it off.
Hey, listen, he's had a little military training. I think he can get us in there. Jeff, I got to go. Way over time, I'm going to get in trouble. Thank you so much. We'll be listening. Don't forget, Winsome Earl Sears joins Jeff Katz 4 o'clock today exclusively here on News Radio WRVA.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.